Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors, so let's get after it. It's been a fairly mild winter so far here in the Midwest, and spring is just around the corner. But it's not too late for some winter fly fishing tips. A couple months ago, the Driftless Angler Fly Shop in Viroqua, Wisconsin published some winter tips for fishing the Driftless. Dave, that's a great little fly shop, isn't it?
Sure is. We've stopped there many times through the years and thrown some money their way. In fact, I just ordered some flies from them. So I like their BWO patterns for the Driftless, and even though I have probably 10,000 BWO patterns or BWO dry flies, I always tend to stock up on them. So yeah, the Driftless Angler is a great little fly shop, and they have great online selection as well.
You know, Dave, it's probably worth reminding our listeners who are in the western or eastern parts of the United States, or out of the country for that matter. We still have people overseas who are listening. But when we talk about the Driftless, what are we talking about?
So the Driftless is a region, and it includes southwest Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota, and northeast Iowa, where the glaciers did not drift through and flatten out all the little dells or valleys, hence the phrase Driftless.
Yeah.
And so I didn't actually know what that meant when I moved to Chicago.
Did I wonder how many people do. Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people do. It's just one of those expressions you use a lot. But
so what makes this area such a wonderful place to fish is there's all these spring creeks. In fact, I just saw a number that ballparked the spring creeks at about 600 spring creeks, 24,000 square miles in the area. But 14,000 miles of trout streams, these spring creeks. And so there's brook trout and brown trout and rainbow trout. Now, for the most part, the brook trout tend to be native unless they were introduced, but the brook trout are native to the Driftless area. Brown trout were introduced, a half a century ago. I don't remember, but they're wild, and they've really come to dominate.
They really
the streams.
Have. That's probably another topic for another time, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So it's really a brown trout fishery for the most part. And then there are rainbows. Rainbows are stocked in certain areas, and they have tended not to become wild, meaning they've not reproduced. So most any rainbow that you catch there is some legacy rainbow that was planted the last couple years.
Yeah, and for the most part in Wisconsin, I don't think they're stocking many streams, are they, with
rainbows?
I know Iowa, mainly
Minnesota
Iowa.
Does it too.
Minnesota does,
yeah, around the Preston
bit.
Area.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. So the point is, these tips apply specifically to this region of the country, this Driftless region. But I think most of them apply universally. So here we go. There are six of them, and hopefully there's something that will help you. Maybe the light will go on. So, yeah, get us started, Dave.
Well, the first is that you definitely want to fish when the temperature is rising, roughly between the hours of 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock. I can say that I've been out in the Driftless where it started out at 32 degrees, and when I got off the water, it was 21 degrees.
Yeah.
So it was dropping, not rising, and that didn't turn out to be a great day. So yes, you, as a rule, in the winter, you want to fish that window. And why? It's because the temps start to rise, and the trout tend to become more active.
You know, I think there's been a lot of days, Dave, where we've said, well, it's winter, we'll start fishing by 11, and by the time we get out of northern Illinois and stop for breakfast.
The most important thing.
Yes, and the biggest problem for getting to the stream on time. But don't you think sometimes we've started at 11 and it's pretty good, and even by 1 it slows down?
Yes.
And we've had that feeling, you know what, we probably should have been here at 10 o'clock, even though, yeah, it's winter. I mean, I think the days that we fish in the winter are either they're warmer days, or it's sunny, and so that can help heat up the water. Those streams aren't that deep, so probably 10 o'clock isn't too early in most places, and I think that would be similar to the West. I mean, you talk to guides and fly shops in Montana, and they're still talking about that 10 to 2, 11 to 2 window, even in the winter.
Yeah, and if you're going to air, it's probably best to air a little earlier, get started at 9.
Yeah.
And it might be a little slow for a bit, but if you catch anything, it might be in that 10 to 12 window.
Yeah. I've just been surprised, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Dave, but I think things always shut down a little sooner than I figure they will on those winter days.
Absolutely.
So that's one tip. Yeah, fish when the water temperature is rising, and that 10 to 2 window is good. So here's a second one that the Driftless Angler suggested, and that is to slow everything down. Spend a few more casts in likely looking spots as trout are sluggish. That's one that I need to hear, because you know me.
Yes, I do.
I like to move quickly, fish this run and then on to the next. But yeah, that's good input. In fact, they say even leeches should be dead drifted under an indicator and twitched. So, Dave, we've had some success fishing small woolly buggers, small streamers, but one thing we've noticed is you can't strip them in fast like you might in the summer or the fall.
Yeah.
You've got to move those things along slowly, sometimes even dead drifting those. But even on the retrieve, making sure they're not going too fast.
This is such an interesting reminder because, gosh, it has probably been a decade, but I used to dead drift. I'd put underneath an indicator, I'd put a smaller woolly bugger, and then I'd drop like a worm, like a San Juan worm.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught one of my biggest fish doing that, dead drifting a woolly bugger. That one,
wow.
I think it was about 17 inches.
Yeah.
Biggest fish in the Driftless.
Yeah.
Now, there are some big, big fish there, but
yeah.
I've never experienced anything more than 17, 18
inches.
Yeah,
that's still but a big fish.
This is a good reminder about the dead drifting, and it makes complete sense to me that they're moving slower in the wintertime.
Yeah. Do you remember, did you catch it on the larger fly or on the dropper?
It was on the dropper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, yeah, slow things down and
try dead drifting.
Yeah. And you can, I like their suggestion to twitch things. That gets you movement, but the twitch isn't this racing through the run, because I think a lot of trout at that point aren't going to, they're not going to race after something, but they'll go for, again, that large meal.
Yep, the big chunk.
Yeah, that's right.
Who doesn't go after that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. All right, so our third point here in terms of tips is that, and I actually had to look some of this up, to be honest with you, because this came in the newsletter, and I had to kind of get some more definition around it. So they said the springs that you fished in the summer for cold water are now heaters. The springs that you fished in the summer for cold water are now heaters.
Wow, that's interesting. Counterintuitive.
It is totally counterintuitive. So trout love spring heads and seeps in the winter. So I had to go look up what a seep was, to be honest. I mean, I knew what it was, but I thought, hey, I should look this up. So a seep is groundwater that reaches the surface through a distinct hole from which shallow broad flows more, and they move outward and create a saturated zone. So in a spring creek, some of them say that they're between 48 and 50 degrees year round. Other people say, no, it's 42 to 45, 46. I've heard 52 degrees. The point simply is that these spring creeks tend to be colder. But in the wintertime, where these seeps are, which is water that's coming, again, from underground and seeping into the stream, as opposed to the creek head or the spring head, this is where fish tend to congregate, apparently. Mm. And in fact, I was going to read you this quote that came from Hatch magazine. And it said, spring seeps create the same environments for otherwise sluggish winter trout, except they are microenvironments. So where trout are spread out throughout the full breadth of spring creeks and tailwaters, spring seep influenced areas in freestone, now he's talking about freestone rivers, are relatively small, leading to a high concentration of trout in a small area. But in a spring creek, it's the same thing. If there's a seep into the river, that sometimes might mean a little warmer water. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, it reminds me, I need to pay more attention because I think about the two or three streams in the Driftless that we fish the most, and I don't recall maybe one or two places where there are seeps. I bet I'm missing some. I'm just not looking for them.
And one way you identify them in this article, it said, is where there's less snow. For example, you'll see them near the banks or something, especially if there's a lot of snow or if there's ice on the on the creek. So here's one more quote from Hatch magazine, and then I'll let this rest. But it says, in winter, fish abandon most of the stream for the areas that meet their very specific icy water needs. So whether you found a spring seep, a log jam, or the slow, gooey water of a deep pool's tailout, you found the fish. When you return a few weeks later and a few weeks after that, you'll almost definitely find them there again.
Huh.
That is, as long as spring hasn't arrived.
Okay.
So basically, fish tend to pool in the winter, and even in spring creeks, they tend to pool towards these spring seeps and also the spring head where the water evidently is a little bit warmer than the rest of the water.
That could be very helpful. Well, here's another insight from the Driftless Angler. Remember your little black bugs. So what they say is that midges and winter stoneflies are on the menu during the cold months. Size 16 through 20, thin-bodied, and black bugs are key this time of year. So that's interesting, isn't it? And I think that would determine the choice of your nymph. Maybe that's why we've done pretty well sometimes with like a black zebra midge.
Yeah.
Maybe just because it's dark in color.
I recently reached out to the Driftless Angler. I think it was in January, because my son Corey was going over to Michigan, and I had read some articles about the importance of stoneflies, fishing black stoneflies. And so I emailed the folks over there, and I got a great reply. I said, man, I'm looking for stoneflies. Do you have any on your website that I should purchase? Which one specifically? Because there wasn't one that was that said, this is a stonefly for the Driftless. He responded back, hey, he said, just use a black caddis nymph and cut off the antennas. He said that works just as well.
Huh.
So I thought that was as a black stonefly.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so you know, it's that kind of wisdom from the angler. So
you say what size?
You know, they're probably start at 18, 20.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Especially for the Driftless.
What else, Dave?
So the next one is, and I think this is patently obvious, but not all of you probably winter fly fish. And if you live a long ways from a trout stream, like you have to travel, most people don't see it as worth the time to actually travel to winter fly fish. For us, you know, we can jump in our car and 3 hours later, 3.5 hours later, we can fish. But it says basically winter fishing is a gamble. So don't expect crazy good fishing, and I can tell you we have not had crazy good fishing.
Oh man, we echo this.
It says you might luck into a nice midge hatch, but show up knowing that fishing is tough and appreciate the chance simply to be outside. Now you had a great day recently, and at least it was winter fly fishing, and you had a much better day than I did.
We were on this little stream west of Madison, Wisconsin, about an hour or so, and I decided to use a small black woolly bugger, and had a couple runs where, and these are big deep pools and just nothing, but then I came to a run that was right along the side of a bank, and I fished it from I was upstream from it, so I'm pulling it back against the current and right along this bank, and man, I had a, next thing I know, I got a big trout on. It was a 15-inch rainbow, fat, kind of a hook jaw.
Rainbow or brown?
I'm sorry. What did I say? Yeah, it was a brown. Yeah.
No, I was like, Hookjaw Rainbow on the Driftless?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. Thanks for correcting me. Yeah, I got rainbow on the brain, but no, it was a brown. It's definitely a brown. And then I thought, wow, you know, there's my fish for the day. I go to the next run, same thing, right along the bank, bam, I had another one that turned out to be 15 inches, a brown. And it was interesting. It didn't have a hook jaw, but it had a little bit more of a hump. It kind of looked like a sockeye salmon, like one of those reds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then later in the day, I caught another one. It was only 11 inches, but fat as a football. And
that one also had a hump. I took a picture of that.
Yeah.
It was so odd to me.
Yeah, I know it. But, yeah, they were on streamers. But the point is, yeah, you never know with winter fishing. I've had that. And then you get really confident, think, oh, this is great. And I'm pretty confident, Dave, if we would have gone back the 2 days later, give it a rest, try it again, I would have got nothing. You know, that is just how winter fishing goes.
Well, that day I was fishing nymphs. And so I was trying to fish nymphs, and you came and got me after you caught two. And I went to a woolly bugger as well, and I didn't do at all. I didn't catch any on
you know what? Bugger. I really think the fishing shut down because we got there a little bit. It was probably 11:30
yeah,
or so.
Yeah, we got there way too late.
Right.
Yeah.
And so by the time you and I connected again and started fishing, it was after one, and just nothing. Okay, I got that one, that 11-incher, but there was just nothing else happening. So, yeah, there again, that goes back to an earlier point. Although that 10-2 window, I think that day was probably more like 10-1.
Yeah, or 9:30, 9-1, yeah, for sure.
Yep. All right, there's one more. Again, these are tips from the Driftless Angler in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And we don't have any kind of an arrangement or partnership. We're just we're just borrowing their list and
stealing their list. Yeah.
Yes, but encouraging you to go there. We don't get a kickback, but it's a great little fly shop, and they are always helpful. Anyway, so they've said, number one, you want to fish when the water temps are rising, roughly between 10 and 2. Secondly, slow everything down. Third, the springs you fished in the summer for cold water are now heaters. So look for those spring heads and the seeps in the winter. Number four, remember your little black bugs. And then the one we just talked about, number five, winter fishing is always a gamble. And then the last one, number six, is watch those water temperatures. You always want to fish temperatures that are climbing. Once they start to drop, the fishing shuts down. Now, there is a corollary between daytime temperatures, air temperature, and water temperature, but it's not a perfect correlation. So if you have access, get information on water temps in these streams, just kind of track that and watch it. And I realize we're not always that sophisticated. In fact, let's be honest, Dave, how often do we do that in the Driftless?
I have a temp gauge, but it's an extra gadget on my vest.
Right, and especially when it's cold. It's like, last thing I want to do is fiddle around with something else I'm dropping
into the water. I know it's
cold.
I don't need to get some metric to tell me
it's
cold.
But I think this, even though this is about water temperatures, and I get it, there's not a one-to-one correspondence between water and air temperature, but I just find on those warmer days that especially when it's, you know, the temperature's climbing, that it's pretty good. And then as soon as it starts to cool off, the fishing cools off. So I think there is a correlation. That's the insight. I think those are good tips. I mean, winter fly fishing is always, it's a gamble. So I don't know, anything else you'd add, Dave? Number 7 or 8 or?
I've had so many really slow days in the wintertime, and days in which I got there, instead of the temp rising like I thought it was going to, the wind picks up and the temp drops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is perhaps it's that point that, you know, winter fly fishing is a gamble that I resonate mm-hmm. with most. And I probably my best day winter fly fishing, even early spring, was about 7 to 8 fish. Now, it was over a course of maybe 2 hours. But I've never had a day where you're just ripping them in
No.
When I'm winter fly fishing.
No.
And maybe that's because I don't hit it right or I'm not the best fly fisher, but I fish in the winter because I have to get out.
Yeah.
And I have to fish. That's why I do it.
Right. Yeah. So maybe another tip would be make sure you identify a good restaurant because that may be the high point of your day.
And you'll be cold and ready for either hot chocolate or whatever it is you consume. So.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, we've talked about six tips from the Driftless Angler, a fly shop in Viroqua, Wisconsin. Winter fly fishing is spotty at best, and we can testify to that. But if you take these tips to heart, you'll at least have a better experience, we think. Right?
That's right. Hey, and before we end, we should remind you about our book, The Fly Fisher's Book of Lists.
Yeah.
Life is Short, Catch More Fish. You can pick that up on Amazon. Please do that. Steve and I are in the process of thinking about another book idea.
Yeah.
Are we actually going to do that?
Well, I think so. I'd like to.
I have 5 of my short essays already done.
Oh, good for you. I've got maybe 5 ideas in my head that are not done. But and I was going to ask, is that the Fly Fisher's Book of Lists, is that still on the New York Times bestseller list, or did we
drop
off?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
No, it just continues to sail.
Man, that's just terrific. Yes, we're just living the dream off of the proceeds of that book.
Yeah, that book is going to, well, you know what, we could retire right now based on that.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, an incremental,
yes.
$200 maybe.
Hey, that's right. Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Ah, man. Well, that'll do it for today. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of fly fishing.
In the winter.
In the winter.